Good afternoon. Today I'm going to speak about Nicodemus and his conversation with Jesus. Now this is found in John chapter 3 verses 1 to 17 in your Bibles. I'm not going to read all of the passage first, but rather just kind of talk through the passage and bring out points as I go. So Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, and generally speaking, the Pharisees didn't get on very well with Jesus. So they were a religious group and they were quite jealous of Jesus. So they didn't like the crowds that were drawn to Jesus and through his teaching and the signs and wonders that were displayed in Jesus' ministry. However, Nicodemus, although he was a Pharisee, he was curious about Jesus, and he potentially typifies a lot of people in Western culture today. Hence, I've chosen this passage because I think quite a lot of people might actually, if they think about it, relate to Nicodemus. So Nicodemus would have been quite a good person. So not some of the more kind of extreme sinners that Jesus often spoke to, but Nicodemus was a pretty good person. So he was good, but not yet a believer and follower of Jesus. So because of Nicodemus' situation with him being a Pharisee, and the Pharisees not quite, being opposed to Jesus, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And we can assume that that's because he wanted to not be seen, and he was a little bit like a secret seeker after Jesus. Now, there's maybe some people listening to this message today who are also secret seekers of Jesus. I know that some churches who run a course called the Alpha Course, where people invite their friends to come and to do a 10-week course to explore who God is and how they can know God through Jesus, that sometimes people go on that course secretly, so they don't tell anybody else what they're doing on the particular night of the week for those 10 weeks, and they sneak out and they try to find out more about God and Jesus. So you too might be a secret seeker, a bit like Nicodemus. Anyway, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and he actually starts off quite well. So he's not in opposition to Jesus. He's not really trying to put Jesus down or criticize him. He comes along and says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." And there's a lot of good positivity in that statement. So he acknowledges that Jesus is a teacher and that he is from God. And a lot of people in the world would probably agree with that statement. So most people have no trouble acknowledging Jesus as a good teacher, because a lot of what he said was quite revolutionary and is quite amazing and is in fact quite profound. So Nicodemus, he starts off really well, acknowledging Jesus as a good teacher and that he's come from God, which is another good thing. And he says that no one can do the signs that he does unless God is with them. So again, he's acknowledging the miracles of Jesus and that God himself is with Jesus. And this possibly a bit fewer people than those who acknowledge Jesus as a teacher would acknowledge the miracles of Jesus, but still quite a lot of people in the world would acknowledge that Jesus performed miracles while he was on the earth, miracle healings and many other types of miracles. Now, we have the record of John. So John is the gospel writer. He's an evangelist, and he's writing his account of the life of Jesus. And so in John's gospel, Jesus comes back very quickly with quite a, almost like a rebuttal, but Jesus gets right to the point of what Nicodemus needs to hear. And so Jesus comes out and says, "Most assuredly." So this most assuredly is actually amen, amen in the Greek, which can be translated in a variety of ways. Most assuredly is quite good. But it's a really strong assurance. Some translators would put that as truly, truly. So John is really emphasizing that Jesus is really trying to say something strong here in this next sentence that comes along. And Jesus says, "I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And we have this phrase in this passage, born again, which is used a lot within Christianity. It's where the phrase born again Christian comes from. And Jesus makes this statement to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is confused. So Nicodemus does not understand right from the start what Jesus is saying. And I suppose many people who might be listening also might be quite confused by what Jesus is really meaning when he says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, this phrase, born again, has got really two meanings in the Greek, and the English really doesn't capture well what the fullness of the true meaning. And so born again is almost like half the meaning. So we have born again, but also born from above. And it's the born from above bit that really is referring to born from heaven. And we will see in a minute, Jesus goes on to unpack this and explain further the born from above aspect of the born again phrase. So Nicodemus, he jumps straight into the second time meaning. So the born again or second time meaning. And he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus is referring to the born again or born a second time, and he's referring to natural birth. So the reference to the old man could be a reference to himself. So Nicodemus at this point may have been quite elderly, which gives more fullness to what he's saying. So it would be very strange to say, how can an old man, enter into his mother's womb again and be born again? And we have also the second time, he explicitly says, enter a second time. So we have like this timing, possible meaning of the phrase born again that Nicodemus brings out. But that's not what Jesus meant. So it's not the complete fullness of what Jesus meant. And Jesus goes on to say, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one person is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus is expanding on the spiritual side of the born again. So the born from above part of being born again. And he refers to water here, which refers to water baptism. So already in the Gospels, we read about John the Baptist who was going around baptizing. And really this was a baptism for repentance, to turning away from sin. Later within Christianity, baptism became to be a symbol of new life, of having sin washed away, and a sign of membership, really, within the people of God, so within the body of Christ on the earth. So Jesus, actually in line with a key theme in John's Gospel, mentions water here, and with reference to water baptism. And he mentions the Spirit. And we have Spirit with a capital S in English, referring to the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, cannot enter the kingdom of God. So these two elements, really, the baptism and the presence of the Holy Spirit, being markers of entry into God's kingdom. And the Holy Spirit here is a good spirit. So he's a good spirit, the Spirit of God that lives and dwells on the earth and comes to live in the lives of believers. So it's kind of a positive godly spirit, not demonic spirits, not the spirits of the dead, and there is a difference. So there is a good, healthy spirituality, and that good, healthy spirituality is what Jesus is referring to here. He goes on further to expand on this. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So again, he's coming really against Nicodemus's first idea. So Nicodemus jumped to the natural meaning of natural birth, but Jesus comes back and says, actually, there's a contrast here. There's the fleshly birth, so that which is the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So there's a different, an additional spiritual birth that Jesus is talking about here. So Nicodemus must have been quite surprised. You can imagine that he was quite surprised, and quite frankly, most of the audience may be surprised if you've never heard of this concept before. So Jesus goes on, he says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So don't be surprised that you must be born again. And he gives another example. He likens the spirit to the wind. So he says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And it's like, you know, we can see the effects of the wind around the place. So when the wind is blowing, you can see leaves moving, you can see trees moving. And definitely here where we live in Auckland, in recent times we've had wind. So we've seen the effect of the wind, and at times quite strong winds. However, it's also can be a bit like that with somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can see the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, even though you can't actually physically see the Holy Spirit normally with your eyes. You can see, though, the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. So Nicodemus leaves the conversation at this point with a final question. So he is still confused. He hasn't really got it. He says to Jesus, how can these things be? And Jesus, again, comes back almost quite harshly to Nicodemus and says, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? So it's almost as if Jesus expects Nicodemus to have understood that there is a spiritual birth, that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, not just a natural, fleshly, earthly kingdom. So at this point, I would like to just give my own brief story of being born again. And really, it's not that hard. I think in this passage, we see Nicodemus really struggling to grasp the concept, struggling to grasp that there is a spiritual element, and that the Holy Spirit has come, and that through the ministry of Jesus that the kingdom of God really was released in a very new and different way to what people had seen before on the earth. Really, we use the phrase born again to mean when somebody becomes a Christian and becomes a follower of Jesus. So at that moment, God sends his Holy Spirit to live and to dwell within that person's life. And that whole conversion process, so the whole coming to Christ, becoming a Christian, is of the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit that draws a person, that inspires a person, that gives a person that revelation, really, that God is who he says he is. And so myself, my parents took me to church, to Sunday school, when I was a young child. And it was during those years, one day at Sunday school, that the teachers gave a very simple presentation of the Christian message. So they told us about Jesus, that he'd lived a perfect life, that eventually he was killed, he died on a cross for our sins, and that it was like he took the sins of the world in his body on the cross, and he rose again, and that if we believe in him, if we put our faith in him, that we can be forgiven for the things that we've done wrong and go to heaven when we die. And so even though I was very young at the time, I understood this clearly. was not confused at all, and I decided that the kind of basically there and then that was what I wanted. And so the teachers, what they did was they prayed a very simple prayer and invited anybody to pray along with that prayer if they wanted to. And so I did. I just prayed along in my head with that prayer. And I would say that that was the time, if I look back, that I was born again. Now, nothing changed immediately. We didn't even, like, we didn't actually even raise our hands. We didn't go to the front. We didn't tell anybody. But still, I know that I prayed that prayer. And that at that point, the Holy Spirit did come into my life. I would say that God was very real to me from a young age. And so it's just in a few minutes at the end of this talk, I will also pray a very short prayer. And if you would like to, you can pray that prayer and also ask Jesus to be Lord in your life. And so this is actually a short version of this talk. So I'm going to just skip to a couple of key parts of it, a couple of key verses, and then close with that prayer. So Jesus goes on in this passage actually to talk about himself and to talk about his own authority on the earth and his way and in John's way of expressing it to really say that he is the Son of God. So he is the Son of Man who has come down from heaven. And there's numerous times through the Bible where Jesus described himself as God's Son and the only Son. We see that again in John 3:16. So John 3:16 is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It's probably the most quoted verse of the New Testament. And it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So there is a lot already in just in John 3:16. And number one, God loved the world. That includes you. God loves you. It's so important to understand that God is a God of love and compassion and that he calls us to love. Really, firstly, he calls us to love him and then to love other people. And that is at the heart of the Christian message, this God of love. For God so loved the world that he gave, again, his only begotten Son. So only begotten really means only one made. Or there's only one, one of them, only one Son. That whoever believes. This is the whoever of the gospel. That this is a wide invitation. It doesn't matter if you're essentially a pretty good person like Nicodemus or you are a very bad person like some of the pretty much drunks, demon-possessed, prostitutes, all those kind of maybe what we would think as stereotypical type sinners who Jesus also interacted with. It's the whoever of the gospel, whoever believes in him, should not perish. So God does not want you to perish. God does not want you to go to hell when you die, but have everlasting life. And that everlasting life is in heaven. We see, I'm going to wrap up with John 3:17, for God did not send his Son to condemn the world. So it's not about making you feel bad or bringing condemnation. Jesus did not come to bring condemnation, but salvation, that the world through him might be saved. And we have a choice to make. We have, though, the choice of whether we say, yes, thank you, God, I accept what you did through Jesus Christ, and I want to follow you. So I'm going to close in that prayer that I prayed many, many, many years ago, inviting Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And if you feel like you're ready to pray this prayer, that you know that you want to follow Jesus for the rest of your life, that you want to turn away from the things that you're doing that are wrong, turn to God and be forgiven, then please pray along in your hearts. So I pray now. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. Please come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Lord, I just pray for anybody who has prayed that prayer right now, Lord. I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they would find a good church, that they would have access to scriptures, that they would read your word, the Bible, and that they would be found in you in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.